When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
And I am Ben Bolin, Scott's erstwhile sidekick on the show and a video writer when I'm not hanging out with you guys. You know, okay, I've made the sidekick reference here with an ulterior motive.
Okay.
If we were going to be in a race, you know that I don't really want to be in races. I don't want to drive. I've said before that I would ride shotgun with you at something like
right?
Pikes Peak, or you know, IndyCar racing or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got nerves of steel. I have nerves that are, you know, the equivalent of perhaps one of those stress balls. You know, they won't break.
What'd you get that here? What's your angle?
Is there a way that I can be involved in a race and be in the vehicle and not drive?
Yes, but I think in this case, you might prefer to drive.
And all right. Drum roll?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Motorcycle sidecar racing. And the reason you would prefer to drive?
Uh-huh.
The sidecar position in this modern form of sidecar racing is incredibly dangerous. Incredibly dangerous. And it's unbelievable. You'll have to see it to believe it. You really do. You have to see this in order to understand what this person is going through during a single turn, really, to understand the danger involved in being in that sidecar.
Now, we've talked about sidecar racing before, well, more so sidecars themselves, because you don't see them that often anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty rare to see it on the road now, or at least in our area. We don't see it very often. This is not what you're probably thinking of, though.
Right. This is not the conventional sidecar.
No. This vehicle, when you see what a modern sidecar looks like, it looks unlike anything you'll see on the road, that's for sure.
Yeah.
This is a streamlined motorcycle design with a combined or conjoined, I guess you could say, really, sidecar that is also streamlined. And the whole rig, everything from, you know, the ground up is probably lower than waist high. Wouldn't you say, just on average? I mean,
that was the most surprising part to me.
Yeah, it's probably like mid thigh high, I guess, if you want to say. Where these are extremely low, extremely wide. They have tires like look like car tires on them. They're that wide and small. It's a three wheel vehicle, as you'd expect.
Right.
It turns more like a car than it does like a motorcycle because of that third wheel. So there's not the not the leaning involved, not the I don't think there's any of the counter steering involved in this one. It's incredibly fast. I mean, it's not uncommon to on a long stretch to see a motorcycle sidecar traveling at 150 plus, 170 plus miles per hour. They take turns at 90 miles per hour. It's unbelievable.
I'm starting to possibly regret my decision. Yeah. I can see this coming, but for now, I'm sticking with it.
You are?
Yeah, I'm sticking with it.
Would it change your mind if I told you what the name of the sidecar position is? There's the driver.
Possibly. Okay, what's the driver?
The driver. Well, there's two drivers, really. They get co-credit for driving the vehicle, which is really strange, but you'll understand in a moment.
Okay.
There's the driver that steers.
Okay.
Okay, that's the person that's kind of kneeling down inside this capsule, really. You're not sitting upright like on a normal motorcycle.
All right.
A standard motorcycle, I guess. You're kneeling down, leaning forward. It's like in an extremely low crouched position. Again, it's all wind resistance, trying to keep yourself low.
And that's you in this situation.
I guess so.
Okay.
I guess so.
All right.
You, if you're in the sidecar, you will be climbing all over that motorcycle during the race. You will, you're not secured in any way. You're only holding on with the strength of your own arms and your legs.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just crouching down and keeping your weight there either. It's, you're literally climbing from one side of the bike to the other side of the bike in a turn where you're traveling close to 100 miles per hour.
And I guess just redistributing the weight of the vehicle for turning?
Precisely. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. It's, you're using your weight, your body mass as ballast for this vehicle. Okay. So in a, let's see, I've got notes here because this gets a little tricky.
A little technical?
But, not really technical, just a little tricky. You know what? I didn't even tell you the name of the
person.
Yeah,
what's the name?
The person in the sidecar is called the monkey. And aptly named, because this person is just, it's like monkey bars. It's like the person is literally, I mean, laying out across the back of the bike with one leg stretched out, you know, on the other side, hands around the front grabbing hold-ons. There are two hold-ons, and he can adjust his weight forward or backward to adjust weight on the front wheel.
Okay.
In certain turns, he's hanging off the other side. I'll get to it in just a second.
Monkey.
The monkey. Yeah, there's the driver, the person who steers, and then there's the sidecar position, which is the monkey. So I guess you would be the monkey.
I guess I would. I did kind of rush into that without... asking for more information.
Well,
first.
don't go on the name. I mean, it sounds like it would be an awful lot of fun.
Yeah,
incredibly dangerous. And really, it's dangerous for both riders. And the reason is because they have to work so carefully as a team. If they don't work together in absolute precision, this whole thing goes wrong.
Like if the monkey has their weight on the wrong side for a turn, it could be disastrous, right?
Correct. And not only that, but if the monkey doesn't lean far enough, it can also be disastrous. So you could be doing the right thing, just have not leaned exactly far enough. I mean, and we're talking about degrees here. If you lean out 90 degrees, you're fine. If you lean out less than 90 degrees, that might not be enough. And if you lean out more than 90 degrees, that might be too much. You might be thrown, or you might affect the way the motorcycle handles through the turns, because it's so critical, the ballast weight in this thing, because of that third wheel and because of the speeds and because of the way the driver is able to control the vehicle, the weight of the monkey is critical to getting through each and every turn. And what that person is doing, where he's shifting his body weight to and from, absolutely essential.
You know, it sounds as though the actual vehicle is relatively light.
It's relatively light. It's
got to have a pretty good engine.
It's 500 or 600 pounds, probably. I mean, that's a guess, a ballpark guess. Now, different divisions have different weights, and I don't know all the divisions. There's a lot of different classes, and you know, there's Formula One. There's also Super Sidecar. There's Super Sidecars here in the States. It's just a lot of different groups, but around 500 pounds, we'll say.
That sounds right, because that still is light enough that a person throwing, you know, 140 to 180 or something pound person throwing their weight around would make a really big difference.
Oh, yeah, so. It makes a tremendous difference. I mean, you know how weight and racing and how much of a difference that makes. Well, even in this case, just shifting weight forward and backward on the wheels makes a big difference. And how far up or down the person kneels is making a difference because of the aerodynamics. Mm-hmm. It's so important. I know I keep saying this, but it's so important that these two are in tune with each other. The team really has to work together. So let's talk about a turn just quickly and get beyond that. But in a right turn, the co-driver, the monkey, has to place his weight over the rear wheel for added traction. So he's in that in that situation. And right, I should say that in a sidecar, every sidecar that I've seen so far, the sidecar is on the left side of the driver. Okay?
Yeah.
So the side that sticks out is on the left side of the driver. The driver is, again, kneeling down. Now, so in a right turn, the monkey is putting his weight on the rear wheel of the motorcycle part of this, not the sidecar wheel, but the other wheel.
Yeah.
So that's the one where he's laying across the back of the bike. Now remember, the driver is kneeling down. He's laying his body over the bodywork, holding on to a handhold that's kind of up next to the driver on the right side. He's got one hand through this grip, and he's got his feet positioned on a rail at the back of the vehicle. Now, he's not strapped in any way. He's got full leather on and, helmet, of course, and safety gear, but really laying out there. And I guess that's the one where he can either grab the forward grip or the rear grip in order to shift weight forward or backward to distribute the weight between the front and the rear wheel appropriately.
Okay. Now,
it's all for traction.
Is the track circular?
No, it's not circular. It's a road course, so it has the left and right turns, and that's the whole thing with this, is that it's left and right turns, because if it's one way turn, that might be a lot easier. And
then, that's what I was going
to ask. I say easier. It's not easy to hold onto a motorcycle when you're going 150.
Let's say less difficult.
It's less difficult. Yeah. Now, in a left turn, this is the crazy one.
Okay.
Now, remember that sidecar is sticking out to the left.
Yes.
Okay. So the left of the driver. In a left turn, the monkey has to hang out past the third wheel on the far left of the vehicle. So he's got these big metal handles that stick up. And he's got his feet up against the body of the bike. And you're demonstrating?
I'm putting myself in this position.
Himself in that position. Now you reach your arm out at full length, stretch it out, and grab onto a handle. And then lean your back out even further. So just like that. So now you're leaning your rear end is hanging out over the pavement at this point.
Yeah, at this point.
You're holding your body weight up with your arms, and you're using your body mass in order to keep the left side of the bike on the track so that wheel stays on the ground. Or actually, it comes up sometimes, but you're just on the edge of control so that you're able to make that left turn. And then as soon as you come out of that turn, you have to pull yourself back in and get in position for the next turn, whether that's a left, right, straight, whatever it happens to be.
And we're going 90-plus on that turn.
You're going around 90 or even faster on that turn. Depends on the angle.
There's not enough time to really hang out there. You have to, because if that weight is still all the way out there on the left after the turn,
you're probably going to end up skidding across the ground. And then that is also disastrous for the person driving the bike, because that quickly... let's say that you weigh 150 pounds.
Yeah.
That quickly releases 150 pounds of weight from the vehicle, which then affects the handling of the vehicle greatly. And then he may not even be able to make that next turn because this thing is so unstable.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they're low and fast and wide, sure.
Yeah.
But without that balance and the driver knowing what it feels like with two people on it, the way it's supposed to be, it's designed for. With one person on it, the handling is completely different. It will not react the same way, and there's a good chance that the driver will also fall, it will flip over.
And it seems like the driver is in a very unsafe position.
Correct, yeah.
Because the monkey would get thrown free, depending on the angle of the accident.
I'm glad you said that, because there are a lot of accidents online. You can watch on these, on YouTube videos or whatever.
Yeah.
Where the monkey falls off on a turn, which is terrible to begin with. I mean, they just skid and slide and flip and everything. Or the bike goes too far out into a turn, catches a wheel, and then flips. The monkey is thrown free, which is pretty dramatic when you see it happen. I mean, they really launch through the air. It's like a catapult.
Yeah.
The cycle itself, again, it weighs 500 pounds. It usually ends up upside down on top of the driver, and it's a lot of weight to have on top of you when it's sliding, because you're in a case. It's not like a motorcycle where you're sitting on top of it and it's open on all sides. You're inside there. So his best bet is to tuck in and stay tight inside that vehicle as it flips and turns or whatever. Or if another bike hits it, that's the other danger. The monkey is in no better position because, there's other bikes on the course as well, and they're trying to avoid you, and they may end up striking you or your own rig may end up hitting you.
Okay, all right.
So
that's the scary part.
Equally dangerous. This is a really dangerous sport. It's fast. It's really cool.
Yeah.
But it's dangerous, and it requires this pinpoint precision control and understanding between the driver and the co-driver, which is the monkey.
You know, what an adrenaline rush, though.
It would be.
And it's close to the ground, so I would do it.
Yeah. Would you really? Would you still hang on to the monkey position?
I may only do it once, but I would do it. Yeah.
Yeah,
because really my main concern, getting thrown is, you know, potentially fatal, mm-hmm. you know. But holding on, I think, is the I'm rethinking this carefully. Is there some sort of JV league I could join?
You know what? I'm sure that, you know, you would be taught initially how to do this and how to maneuver, because I think
maybe start at 35 miles an hour.
Sure. You start out slow. That's exactly the way it works. You start out slow. You don't instantly go out on the track and try to hang on to a bike that's going 150. You transition your way up, you know, with what you're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And to me, I just said the word transition. That would be the hardest part for me. Transitioning between, you know, hanging your body out over, mm-hmm. over the track and getting all the way over to where you're leaning on the opposite side of the bike and you're stretched out the opposite direction within seconds.
Yeah.
And not missing a step in between and not, you know, letting your foot slip off, letting your hand slip off. That's got to be the most difficult part.
Well, here's my ultimate idea. This is where we could go with this. Let's take it a little bigger, Scott. Let's mm-hmm. take it back. So let's say we learn to do something like this. Let's mm-hmm. say we both learn to do the monkey discipline, the monkey technique.
Sure.
I don't know about you. I kind of have a wild life. So if I'm ever in a situation where I need to hold on to a car, a vehicle of some sort when it's going that fast, I want to be able to do it. And this sounds like a way to learn it. But of course, you know, it's very easy for us to say that in the comfort of Studio 1A without, you know, actually being out on the road.
Yeah.
So don't hold me to it.
So you're
going to
say that you would use this as a, like a life lesson.
Yeah. Life skill.
Really? A life skill. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a better way to say it.
Yeah.
Sure. And you may be in a position where you're trying to hold on to a vehicle. Is it speeding away?
I'm not saying that it's something I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to do it if I have to.
I see.
I don't, you know, Atlanta is a big city and a lot of crazy people live here.
maybe you could practice holding on to a vehicle as it speeds away mm-hmm. in order to become a better sidecar racer.
That is true. Maybe I should do that. You know, our producer today, Tyler, actually is a motorcycle enthusiast. So
fantastic.
He's making eye contact, but he's kind of got the poker face on. I think that's a no.
Have you ever tried sidecar racing, Tyler?
I've not.
He has not.
He has not tried it.
He has not. No. Okay.
This
well, we'll find
starts.
Somebody. We need to talk to somebody because this might be a fun one to try.
Yeah, and speaking of talking to people, hearing from people, right? Let's go ahead and give our shout out to our listeners. You guys, we've got a lot of motorcycle lovers tuning into the show. Do we have any sidecar lovers? Do we have any sidecar racing enthusiasts? If so, send us an email. And you know what? If you have a completely unrelated topic that you think is cool, we'd love to hear about it at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.